everybody. Short prayer. Lord, may what we hear with our ears burn in our hearts and be set forth in our lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Just had a sneezing fit, so I'm a bit growly at the moment. Right, our reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at the 16th verse. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So there was Jesus reading scripture from the prophecy of Isaiah. And he said, "He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Today, this scripture in your hearing has been fulfilled." You know, Jesus' principal mission in life, it seems to me, was to get mankind to love the Lord our God, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And to achieve this ultimate goal, he urged us to love one another as he has loved us, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, living in the multicultural, multi-faith society of the Roman occupation, Jesus had particular compassion for all in captivity, not just those incarcerated for petty demeanors, but also for the slaves who had been captured and enslaved by the warring Roman armies and removed from their homes and society to be sold in the marketplace as common chattel, desirable servants, sold to wealthy Romans and even to wealthy Jewish Herodians, to do their master's bidding for no pay and no life of their own to live. Children and men and women and girls were treated appallingly by most of their owners. Yet this was an accepted part of society. Slavery was part of everyday life in the Roman world. Fast forward to 1,500 years. To the late 17th, 18th, and even the early 19th centuries, and cruel slavery was once again an accepted part of society, and people hardly batted an eyelid. Anyone who ever watched the television series Roots, does anybody remember Roots? Who've watched the television series Roots, or more recently, the moving film 12 Years a Slave, will have been cut to the quick by the awful scenes we witnessed of extreme cruelty to the African nationals who were perceived to be subhuman somehow due to the color of their skin and the perception that they really were little no more than monkeys. The cotton fields of America in the Deep South, the tobacco plantations, and the sugarcane farms of the Caribbean were desperate for workers to harvest their cash crops for a burgeoning society in Europe and the Middle East. All moral sensitivities were set aside. People from all walks of society became blind to the injustice of tearing children from their mothers' arms, of chaining men, women and children together in vast shipping hulks and transporting them halfway around the world to be sold into slavery. That is, if they ever survived the journey. Somehow, the commandments of Jesus were lost to many generations of merchants who made fortunes for themselves with scant regard for their brothers and sisters. That is, until up stepped William Wilberforce. Who's heard of William Wilberforce? Good. And Ulauda Equina? Or Thomas Clarkson? We're asked to remember these three people in our prayers today, to give thanks for their courage and their stubborn refusal to allow the evil slave trade to continue. Wilberforce was born in 1759 in Hull, and at the age of 36, he had a profound Christian conversion experience and became a radical evangelical Christian with a passion for social reform, not least of which was the vile slave trade. In 1780, he entered into Parliament as an MP and headed an anti-slavery lobby for the next 27 years. He married in 1797 to Barbara, and they went on to have six children together. In 1807, the Slave Trade Act was finally passed by Parliament into law, but was not implemented, like so many laws that are passed. Throughout this time, his great collaborator was Thomas Clarkson, and he's kind of forgotten these days, excuse me, who tirelessly researched the slave trade practices, and he mobilized public opinion to back Wilberforce. Excuse me. Clarkson was also an early anti-abortionist, you like to hear, Paul. He was an anti-abortionist campaigner who equated the abolition of slavery to the ending of the widespread backstreet abortion practices, which he absolutely abhorred. Wilberforce continued to campaign against slavery after he left Parliament and worked with Ulauda Equina, who had been a slave himself, captured from Esaka in Nigeria as a child, to be shipped to the Caribbean and sold to a Royal Naval officer. He was sold three more times before being able to purchase his freedom in 1766. And he then moved to London, where he worked among the black poor of freed African American slaves. Together with Wilberforce, he helped create the free colony of Sierra Leone, and worked to enable former slaves to return to Africa to that free society. Don't know if you know, but Sierra Leone is made up almost entirely of families of former slaves. Wilberforce was a force by name and a force by nature. He became the founder of the Church Mission Society, for instance, and also, remarkably, the founder of the prevention of cruelty to animals. Who knew? The abolition of slavery finally became law in 1833. So the act was passed in 1807, but it didn't get into law, passed by the laws, until 1833. Wilberforce died just 3 months later, knowing that his life work had been completed at the age of 73. So Wilberforce, Equina and Clarkson certainly opened the eyes of the blind, didn't they? And they set the captives free. What great Christian men to read the gospel, to read the words of Jesus, and to implement them in their life's work. And so I do think it's appropriate that we remember them today and pray for their lives and pray that they are in heaven with the Lord that they served. Amen.